Hey, podcast. You're about to listen to a talk I did with Envision Magazine. I moderated a webinar with some independent opticians to see what are they doing during this time. But before we get into that, I need you to do me a favor. Drop me a one-star review if you absolutely hate this podcast. But if you love it, and I know you do, go ahead and give me a five-star review. Make some comments so other people can find it. Because if you don't, make some reviews. Nobody's going to find it on iTunes, and then the whole podcast is going to fail, and then we're going to have to go back to reading. So please leave a review, and here we go. We're talking to four or five opticians, independents. What are they doing? How did they get their start? How are they going to manage it through COVID? Is it e-commerce? Is it cleaning the frames, like extra, extra, extra? Or what else is going on in the world? So let's jump into it.
In listen-only mode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us. I am Deirdre Carroll, Editor-in-Chief of Envision Magazine, and this is third in our series of Envision's Managing Through the COVID-19 Crisis in partnership with some strategic partners. Today, we've partnered with iRocket, a new consultancy launched by today's moderator, Perry Brill, to discuss how opticians and independent eyewear retailers are faring in light of the widespread business shutdowns across the country. If you have questions throughout the discussion, please type them into the question bar and we will try to address them throughout, but there will also be a Q&A session available at the end. With that, I am going to introduce Perry Brill, General Manager of Brill Eye Center in Mission, Kansas, co-CEO of iTrepreneur, knew I was going to screw that up, guys, iTrepreneur podcast, and the CEO of iRocket, who will introduce today's panelists. I will see you at the end again to say goodbye. And with that, I give it to Perry.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing? My name is Perry Brill, and thanks for the introduction, Dee. So the reason I'm having everybody on here is I just want to have a kind of a really positive conversation, how we're managing through this time. I know I've been resting really well and catching up. I think some of us didn't realize how tired we were after working for many, many days straight in a good economy. So first I want to welcome, we have Joshua Hadney of Optical Express from Abilene, Texas. Welcome.
Hello.
We have Kim with Eyes on Maine and Eyes on Maine in Carmel, Indiana. We have Kevin Kretsch, and we also have Matthew with That Glasses Guy in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Welcome. So the first thing I kind of want to start with was just kind of set the scene. Matthew, what day did you close? You're live. We should be able to hear. Yes. All right. Well, I'll move to Josh while we're figuring that out. Josh, what day did you close, or are you open? Tell us what your situation is right now.
We are still currently open. There's about four other doctor's offices that are open, but we're just an optical only. And we're the only one left in town that's got a lab in-house and is still up and functioning right now. We only see about four people a day currently. So it's pretty slow, but, you know, it's still bringing a little bit of money in, you know, helping it where it's not so difficult.
Okay, great. So I know you have a new optical location. So tell us about your history and how you got started. I think you're in a very unique situation, as is Matthew, because while you have long career status, but you're new on your own, right?
Correct. I've been working with glasses since 98. Started back at iMasters in a lab, and loved it. Loved every bit of working with the lenses, the equipment. Soon learned retail paid better, you know, so moved on to that end of it, and started managing a few large stores. That was 21 years ago, and we opened up our store about 9 months ago. So, you know, this was kind of a key time where we were expecting to bring in a little more extra money to help kind of soften the blow from opening. But right now we're just kind of hanging level. which is better than, you know, losing it right now. So can't complain.
Right. Are you the sole employee, or do you have any other help in your location?
Just my oldest son. I've been teaching him the lab work, so it's just family right now. And you know, that makes it a little easier to deal with as far as the employee portion of it and stuff. Still paying him and everything, you know, all of that's still going on. And there's just different steps that we're taking to make sure, you know, when customers come in, anything they try on, they set aside so we can go through and disinfect everything before it goes back on the board. You know, everybody's, you know, there's only about 3 to 4 people in my store max at a time, and that's if a couple of them are together. But like I said, usually I see only about 4 people a day right now.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the introduction. Kevin, I'm going to move to you. I know you have a larger operation. So tell us about your history and your current status.
So as a whole, so I graduated. So my father's an optometrist. So when I graduated, I actually graduated with 2 degrees from college, and then decided I didn't want to do either of them. And I started working for my dad for a little bit, and then decided that's what I wanted to do. So I enrolled in a 2-year associate's program for optical tech, started working at Lens Crafters for a little bit, and then decided that I was going to open up my own practice about 10 miles down the road, which I did. And then, so that was in 2012. And then in 2017, I opened up my second location, which is completely different. It's an optical inside of an ophthalmologist's office waiting room. So we get like all the traffic from the people walking out, and I pay them rent basically. And then in January, we opened up Eyes on Main in Indiana, which Kim has been managing and running wonderfully so far, and that's about it. That brings me here.
Okay, cool. Kim, why don't you go next? Tell us a little about your background and what you're doing. So
when I was in high, I started in high school. My mom told me that I need to get a job, and I know that I didn't want to work like in the food industry. So there wasn't really a whole lot in our town. So I applied. And I started working in the Vision Center at Walmart. And I did that when I was in high school. In college, I started working at Lens Crafters and as the lab manager in training with my husband, actually now husband. Did that for a couple years, and then went into, I started working in private practice for the next 12 years. I was doing the buying there. We were a Vision Source practice. And then from there, I had the opportunity to go work for an ophthalmologist for a couple years as their buyer, but it wasn't something that I necessarily loved because I wasn't facing customers, and had the opportunity to go to another practice. I was there for 5 years doing the buying, and I was kind of their sole optician, and I partnered with Kevin, and we opened up Eyes in Maine in January, so... That's me.
Fantastic. Yeah. How about you, Matthew? Tell us your background. I know you just also opened. You went on your own bravely in the worst time of the decade, or we're on a new decade. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually kind of fell into optical. I had a friend that worked for an ophthalmology practice here in town, and they were looking for someone to help out the optician a little here and there. And it's just kind of snowballed from there into where I am now, actually. So I guess I fell in love with the eyes, or they fell in love with me. I don't know. But yeah, so about a year ago, it got to the point I felt kind of stuck in the ophthalmology practice setting and was ready to kind of venture out and do my own thing. So we had recently had competitor to me now that wasn't there before. One of the companies in town that sort of did what I did, they were the luxury boutique. They had an optometrist on site as well, but they got bought out by PE Group, My Eye Doctor, if you're familiar with that one. So they don't carry the high-end luxury lines anymore. So I just kind of stepped in to fill that void, and it's worked out pretty well so far. except about 2 weeks ago when I had to close the storefront. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're in a kind of a busy, I'm going to call it a mall area. I don't know what you call it. It's kind of an interesting area. I saw the picture of the parking lot. It just looked dead. So
yeah, it was completely empty. So it flatlined right about all the time that started. They started closing restaurants. So we lost all of that lunch and dinner traffic because we've got three restaurants are kind of the core attraction there. And then the smaller boutiques within.
Right. I'm going to give a little background on me so you guys know who I am. And thanks again for everyone for tuning in to hear from some independent optician owners here. I also started out not knowing I was going to go into this. My father, Dr. Raymond Brill, is an optometrist here in Kansas City area. And, you know, I always was probably in the waiting room when I was a child terrorizing patients. During college at the University of Kansas, I needed a job just for beer money and food, and ended up working at an optical that my dad had another OD friend, and I fell in love with eyewear and glasses and the fashion and mainly the business side, which I really enjoy. And then I've kind of parlayed all that knowledge over the past decade into a consultancy called iRocket, where I'm helping practices, whether they're new or mature. There's always room to do something better, and my heavy focus is on technology adoption and offices to be lean. And I also have a podcast, which thanks for a lot of people who listen to it. I want to start off with a really positive topic. Before everyone got on here, Kevin was talking about how he's doing some home try-on stuff, and I think that's really cool how patients are willing to adopt new ways of purchasing retail products. So, Kevin, you want to talk to us about the Chrome Hearts that gentleman requested?
Yeah, so I've been trying to get creative on ways to drum up business, really just to bring in any sort of cash flow that I can to, you know, keep paying my employee salaries and rent and you know, the bare minimums and stuff like that. So I had a couple different ideas. One of the things that I did was on my Facebook and on my store's Facebook, I sold some of my older product. I was basically selling it at cost, maybe, you know, a little bit higher, just to bring in some money and to move some product. And it was, you know, great for my customers. And I ended up selling about 7 or 8 pairs of sunglasses that way. But it was, you know, it wasn't bringing in very much. So then I was thinking of other ways that, you know, I could get some of my heavy hitters involved. So my best customer actually lives in Kansas. It's kind of a weird story, but he buys from us probably 5 or 6 pairs a month, something like that. He's an interesting fellow. He's got a problem. But anyway, so we send him, he used to live in Cleveland and then he moved, and then, you know, but he, you know, we maintain the relationship by, you know, he's a huge Jacques Marie Maj fan. So whenever new Jacques come in, we'll put him in a box, we'll send them to him. He'll try him on. If he likes it, he'll tell us, you know, put my lenses in it and send it back. So, I started thinking about, and we just got a box back from him. So I started thinking, you know, maybe this is something we could do locally. So, I called up one of my good Chrome Hearts customers, and I said to him, I said, you know, if I packed up a box of Chrome Hearts sunglasses and optical glasses and sent them to you, would you take a look at them? And, you know, if you want anything, you can pick it out, and you know, I'm gonna put a shipping label in the box, you can send back whatever you want, you guys can have fun with it. And he said, that's a great idea, thanks, I appreciate it. And then the next day he actually texted me back and he said, you know what, that was a really great idea, I want you to throw in some for my wife, my daughter, and my son. And so I did. I actually ended up sending them about 50 frames, Jacques Marie's, Dita, Chrome Hearts, some Barton Pereira, and some Blake Kuahara. And with every frame, actually, I what I would do is I would type out like a little summary. So it has the frame, the name, the color, what it's available in, if it's men's or women's, and it had the price on it, and I would put it in every bag. And they ended up picking four or five frames and sending them back to me. Two of them, they just kept, they were Plano sunglasses, and two or three of them, they want to put plus 250 readers in. So it ended up being pretty fruitful. We're gonna actually make some, this was all like yesterday. This was very, very recent. So we're, it's just me and Steve in the shop right now. We're actually closed, but we're still coming in to get stuff done. So we're putting a list together of people that we're going to contact, and you know, we're going to see if we can get it together. But it's interesting, you know, that he called me afterwards, and he was like, you know, in a time where we're bored out of our minds, that was a lot of fun. You know, we were all trying on these really nice glasses, and you know, it was the highlight of their day, and then it was the highlight of my day.
Cool, fantastic. You know, I think that's a great idea, and while we always talk bad about the online vendors who do the home try-on model,
right,
I think we're starting to realize maybe there is some type of adoption we should have. I just want to remind everybody there's a chat function here for everybody that's listening. Go ahead and ask us questions. We want to hear from you, and we have these qualified panelists who've all went into some type of risk in business, and this is your chance to get ideas from them so you don't have to make the same mistakes. All right. Has anybody sent out email communications to their patients, just making them aware of, you know, what's going on? I sent out an email this morning to about 7,000 of my patients. Just, it was kind of comical, saying we have a big, bad, you know, virus bunny that's floating around and we don't want to make anybody sick. And it actually was not good, because I got like 10 emails within like 5 minutes with people requesting their Spectacle RXs.
Oh no.
And you know, I'm not the RX police, so we're gonna email them. And I don't know if they would ever buy glasses from us. Maybe they're always those 10 patients every year who, or every month, that want their RXs to go anyways. But has anyone communicated via email to their patients?
No.
I've done a few here and there.
I'd like to say that, okay, our customer base would be bigger than what it is, but sadly it's not.
Yeah, well, not all 7,000 of those people are engaged. All right, so when people are calling Josh, you know, what are you saying? How are you preventing a flood of people, or, you know, maybe someone just has unreasonable expectations of what you can help them with right now?
You know, it's just a matter of breaking it down with them. And I've worked closely with a lot of the doctors here in town that don't have their own opticals that are still currently open. Most of them are only doing half days, so they're only seeing about three or four patients a day, because they're only doing two an hour at most. And, you know, so with that, you know, there's not near as many people buying glasses right now. There's a much smaller amount of people. But being one of the three that are, you know, places that they can buy from, we have actually stayed, you know, about the same level we usually are at. So when they come in, as soon as they come in the door, you know, I let them know exactly what to expect as far as, you know, what to do with the frames, things like that. And, you know, then other than that, it's a fairly normal, you know, procedure as far as taking care of it. We've got an in-house lab. We do finishing. We also do a fast grind system for multifocals and flat tops and stuff. So we're able to get a lot of it to them today. You know, some of the labs are running a little bit slower, you know, or some of them, a couple of them are faster because they don't have as much work to do. You know, so at the same time, I'm having some faster turnarounds as well with some of the stuff that we're ordering, you know, and that's really about it. Just making sure that they, you know what to expect, that we're making sure we're taking care of their health as much as possible while making sure they can see, because, you know, eyesight's just as important as getting a gallon of milk, because how are you going to get it if you can't see to get there?
Right, right. Yeah, actually, I had I put my personal cell phone number on there, as, you know, HIPAA's been relaxed, on the front page of our website, just so it's much easier for me to respond to text communication. And had a gal, she's like, I can't pick up my contacts till 8 p.m., and I was like, how about this? I'll put your contacts out on the picnic bench on the building. And I think this is really our time to shine in the service industry, where if we can go above and beyond, that is a loyalty builder. So we can use this for positivity. Have anyone else had any kind of extreme cases like that where you're going above and beyond to make someone's day?
We have been actually hand delivering a lot of glasses and contacts for people that are local. One of the things that we did when we found out we were closing is we called every single pair of glasses that are in the drawer and contacts the people that are being picked up. So it was quite a bit of them. We told them, you know, we would ship them for a fee, or they can come pick them up, and you know, we would bring them out to them because we're still here. But some of the people that live within, you know, 10 minutes, we offered to just drive them to their and drop them off in their mailbox. People were real appreciative of that. It was pretty easy.
Cool. You know, so what's everybody's thoughts? I think when the virus ends in hopefully a month or two, there's going to be a big storm of people, especially if you take a vision plan. They're going to want to come in and use their benefits. They've been waiting. All of us are looking a little scraggly with our hair and our beards.
Yeah, Josh in particular.
No, luckily we're not like a retail store selling, you know, pants. Like, no one's running to the store to get new pants. But, you know, if you need your nose pads adjusted or, you know, new frames, I think we're going to be in good health. What's everybody's thoughts with that?
Definitely so. I mean, you know, we still have, like I said, a lot of people that are needing them now. The only thing that I see is that, you know, a lot of our business this time of year is based on tax returns, and a lot of people have used their tax returns to get other supplies needed. So that could be a little bit of a hindrance. But, you know, with us, it's just working with our local doctors that we work with and making sure we, you know, let them know we're here to take care of them. That's definitely gave us a little better exposure as far as, you know, doing the things to take care of them and get them, you know, seeing again. But we also don't deal with any insurance here. We're just a straight cash pay out of pocket, out of network for anything. So it's a little different setup than the majority of them.
Right. So I know e-commerce has been coming out of the woodwork, like it just originated in the world. I know every contact lens company who offers online ordering is getting out there and promoting themselves, and every telemedicine group. However, I know Matthew has been working his butt off on e-commerce and using his time wisely. So, Matthew, tell us about your e-commerce venture that you're doing and using your time wisely here.
I don't know about wisely yet. We'll see. But no, so I've gone in and actually built a e-commerce platform through Shopify. So they're doing, actually, you guys might want to check this out too. They're doing a 90-day free trial right now because of all this. So I guess they've seen that there's a lot of demand for that right now too. But basically just taking the time to go in and lay that foundation of a place for people to be able to go that have been looking for me anyways, so they can purchase sunglasses online, and building in the background a little bit to start doing some of the ophthalmic and RX. But right now, just focusing on that very simple click and buy, because obviously I want to provide more of a luxury experience, and you can't just go to a website and click, hey, I want this, and really get that luxury level. So it's been a little bit different trying to work that out. I've done a lot of clients, you know, even since I started as a full remote service, where they just email me, where they found me on YouTube or whatever, and they're like, hey, I'm looking to do glasses. I saw your video about this. How can we go about getting this done? And, you know, it just kind of goes from there. So that, I loved it. That's fun to kind of get those inquiries coming in that way. So I'm hoping to direct some more of that from this website as well.
Right. Now, I know you deal with some finer eyeglasses collections. Do you think some of those collections are going to say, no, Matthew, you can't sell online, or are they going to be a little more lenient?
They've all been pretty lenient so far. I've reached out directly to each of the owners or reps or whoever was in charge. They've actually been great about sending everything I needed to set up the website. So the main thing they look for is you're not selling for super cheap or at cost or even below cost just to get the sale and make the lens money. So they just want you to follow that SRP guideline, and most of them have been totally fine with it.
Right. Yeah. You know, I have an e-commerce website in the works right now, too, that integrates with EHR. It's kind of sophisticated. It will know when somebody walks out with their prescription, so you can try and capture them. I'm excited for the e-commerce opportunities, and hopefully we'll see more vendors out there hustling to make those resources available, since we live in the stone ages with e-commerce in this world for some reason. Kim, are you, how are you going to handle, re-engagement with your clientele when your doors open? Wow, what are your plans to get people hyped and excited?
Right. So where we're located, Carmel is a growing, it's an affluent community, and we're located in the Arts and Design District, where there's a lot of walkability. We have the Monon Trail that connects a lot of the cities here. So there's a lot of cyclists. And what we started doing before we had to close, there's a lot of art galleries. And so we kind of partnered with some local artists to kind of do some cross-marketing sort of things. And they have every month, there's the second Saturday art walk. And so we were going to kind of open our doors for that. I think for us, my eye doctors bought out a big practice, and that really freed up a lot of these collections. And, Kevin and I kind of recognized that, we realized that, and we jumped on those right away. So there, we have collections that nobody else has around town. So I think just kind of still trying to make ourselves present within the community, participating in the art walks. We have, in the summertime, they host a lot of like art fairs, and we're on Main Street. And so they actually close a section of that down, and they have like summer concert series, and they also do movie nights. So we're hoping to leave our doors open for those people to have them come inside and come check us out.
Okay, yeah, that's smart, utilizing community events for that re-engagement. I like that. So Kevin, I know you have a larger workforce. How many employees do you have?
You mean currently or before everyone got laid off?
Before.
Eyes on Chagrin, including doctors, had 11 employees. University Optical has one employee, and Eyes on Main has 3 employees.
Okay, so if you tried to hire people before this all happened, unemployment was super low, and you could ask any optometrist or optician out there, it's hard to hire in a good economy. So I'm personally going to try and hire somebody, one or two people, when the market opens back up. I think it's a good opportunity, and opticians may decide, I've worked somewhere 5 years or 10 years. Maybe this is the time to try something new. It gives you time to think. Do you plan to try and, hop on Indeed or anything and see if there's any talent?
You know, it's actually funny that you ask that, because I was just talking to my dad about that the other day. We had, right before we closed, I actually lost my like star salesman, basically. He got a new job selling mortgages at Quicken Loans, so he's completely out of the industry. But I had just made 2 new hires, and I love them. They're great. But, it was, you post on Indeed and you get, 100 bad resumes, and, you pick the best of a bad situation, basically. So we were literally just discussing the fact that everyone is, going to be getting back into the workforce. I bet you there's going to be a lot of changes. So I like my hires that I just made. But, if the right situation, if we get off this chat and you text me and say, hey, Kev, can I move to Cleveland and come work for you? I'd let you interview. I'd let you interview.
You don't want to hire me. I'm hard to manage. So
wait, are you texting me now?
No. All right. So is anybody, obviously frame reps are going to be out there knocking on our doors, dying for sales. While there are partners in crime, they're also, trying to sell us stuff. Is anyone going to use this to your negotiating advantage, saying, look, I don't need frames, you're my friend, but I'm going to help you out, but can I get like a 10% discount? Or Are you going to use that to your advantage?
I actually texted a couple of reps and asked them if I could do one-for-one exchanges for the new product. So that was actually very receptive for a couple of them. You know, it happened at such a terrible time right before Expo. I want to see all these new releases. So I had a couple of the reps text me images, and I was like, this will be great, but I'm obviously not moving any product right now. So if you want to get the new product, then can we do one-for-one exchange? And most of them said, yeah.
Interesting. How about you, Josh? Any plans to, how are you going to deal with new inventory or people knocking on your door trying to sell you something?
I did actually place a couple orders for a decent amount of frames because I was just at a spot where I needed to anyways. And the fact that this came along, I asked them, for a 60 and 90 day billing, just so that way if something unforeseen comes up and it gets worse, we've at least got a way to pay it out a little bit slower. And they were happy to make the sale for sure.
Smart, I like that. Yeah, terms are always great. Good job approaching them like that. Kim, we were on a Zoom happy hour, I think last week, which was fun. And you gave us a tour of your beautiful, beautiful optical. And I noticed that you put away all your frames. Are they still hidden?
We have them back up on the board. So we got everything out today. We're starting to see more people outside walking now that the weather is getting nicer. And so, I think for our own morale, it boosted that for my husband and I. So we put them back out this morning. Got things dusted and shiny so that way when people look into our window, we've actually had a lot of people stop that wouldn't have before while the weather's getting nicer and they've looked into our windows. So.
Okay. Yeah. I think I saw one or two posts on Facebook of some thefts that occurred. It's always that weird thing. Like, do I keep the frames out? Do I put them away? But I understand your morale goes down if you can't see the pretty little art pieces.
Right.
So that makes total sense. Let's talk about how we're going to fund our businesses here. I know today is the first day of getting some of the loans and the banks are probably all swamped. Matthew, are you planning to get any government assistance or are you just going to run on your piggy bank for now?
I'm kind of just running on the background right now, so I don't have a lot of employees to worry about. It's just me, so that helps. Overhead's pretty low, so I think I can sustain for long enough to get by through this.
Okay, how about you, Kevin? Are you going to apply for some of the government grants?
I haven't decided yet. I wasn't planning on doing it, most of my employees are collecting unemployment, so a lot of the grants are for salaries, but I believe my accountant was telling me that there are some other benefits now too that he came across. So we're gonna meet Monday morning to discuss those. So I think I might change my thoughts on that one, but originally I was not planning on it.
Okay, how about you, Josh, are you going to get any funds to cover your rent and utilities or working with your landlord directly or what?
Actually, I was talking to my CPA and they are doing a lot of the applications for people that they do accounting for. So we're applying for it because the thing is, there's so much that's allotted and, it's use it or lose it if, first come, first serve. And I'd rather have it and not need it than not need it or than need it and not have it. So we're applying for the payroll assistance one, which also can be used towards rent, utilities, just your everyday average, cost of keeping your business open and keeping people employed. And, if I don't have to use it, great. I can pay it all back right then and there. But if I do have to use it, it keeps it from the bank account getting super low, and getting nervous times being a new place. That definitely was something we wanted to apply for to make sure we stayed afloat.
Yeah, I think it's super smart to utilize the government plans. I know we're going to be applying for the one that will give us 2.5 times for payroll and utilities. And if the government keeps their word, it's loan forgiveness. But it does worry me that there's a lot of opticians and optometrists out there trying to make these decisions themselves. I think they should consult a CPA because you only can do this once, and hopefully this won't ever occur in our life again. And I'd hate to see someone financially scarred.
Yep.
But so that's definitely going on out there, and we got to be positive. All right, how is everybody? I know some people have smaller staffs, but I've been doing some Zoom video calls with my staff twice a week, just so I don't keep them in the dark. You know, I want them to know that we're out there fighting for them, and we didn't forget about them. And, you know, a lot of them do live paycheck to paycheck because they are in the early 20s and they haven't built up their salaries. So we've just been having fun video calls, and everyone seems to be enjoying it that we're keeping in touch. It's a new way of doing things. Kevin, how are you utilizing technology to let people know that you didn't kick them to the curb?
So we downloaded this app. It's kind of like Zoom. It's called House Party. So you can play like this drawing game. It's hilarious. So we're really, really close at my Chagrin location. So we're in constant communication regardless, but it's really important for me that morale is high, and that, you know, my employees all know that they're still employees and that, you know, this is, you know, still their home. And so we try to get some sort of conversation together about once every couple days, and you know, whether it's just sending hilarious coronavirus memes back and forth, or sending bad jokes or anything like that. It's good to keep in contact. You're right. So I've been trying to do a good job of orchestrating that the best I can.
Okay, that's fun. I like that app idea. All right, Kim. So when you open up May 1st, June 1st, and you get someone, I'm going to call him a germaphobe. We should all be somewhat germaphobic right now. But let's say you get that extreme germaphobe that comes in. How are you going to kind of coach them through, like, you know, it's safe to be here and we have your health in our head?
You know, so we, right before this all happened, I ordered these kind of like shopping cart trays. And I've had some people that have been coming in and out kind of by appointment, some of my really good customers. And I have this, it's a spray called Pure and Clean. And I have two of the shopping carts. So we will, and they hold 7 frames. So we'll try 7 frames on, and then whatever they don't want, we put it in the other shopping carts, and either I will disinfect them in front of them, or my husband disinfects them. If it's just one person, we kind of work in tandem together. And, you know, we try to keep things kind of really clean and neat and tidy anyway. So I think just kind of, you know, being an active user, you know, sanitizing our hands with the Purell, using the Pure and Clean, so they can see that everything's getting disinfected while they're, you know, coming in and out of the office.
Okay, yeah, doing it in front of them is smart. I know just simply cleaning the pupillometer with an alcohol swab in front of a patient, like, that's really important. I just want to remind everyone who's listening, give us some questions, ask us some questions, please. We're waiting on you. So we're here to give you advice from the expert panelist here. How about you, Matthew? I actually was talking to a friend yesterday. He bought a UV sanitizer. It wasn't meant for frames. It was probably meant for some household good, but it's the brand's Hometics, and it looked almost like a very large eyeglasses case that it takes, I think, 2 minutes per frame or 12 minutes per frame to sanitize. I thought that was kind of a cool idea to have a big UV light. But how do you plan to change your operations to make people feel comfortable? Hey, there it is. What's that?
X UV sterilizer. It's what we use for our frames.
Okay, is that the Hometics one?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it was like $100 or something.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. You could put like kids' toys in there and probably anything, right?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, go ahead and buy everyone on this panel those one for each of us, Kevin. All right, Matthew, how do you plan to kind of make people feel comfortable when they come back in that you're not a total slob and you're doing your due diligence?
Oh, but I am. No, kidding. So that's going to be tricky, actually. I think it's going to be a while before people are really comfortable with that close range and touching again, because it's going to be an extended problem. So it's going to be really hard to instill that value that things are safe to touch again. I think we'll kind of keep doing the same things we had been leading into this, which of course is setting everything aside, like Kimberly mentioned, that's been touched or tried on, set it off to the corner to be sanitized later, either by the barbicide or one of these UV devices, which I do love those UV things, by the way. So that's something I've been looking into. But yeah, I think it's going to be really hard to really get that through to patients' heads coming back in from this.
Right, makes sense. Josh, have you had any kind of vendors that want to be paid? You're getting the state, it's the beginning of the month, statements are coming in. Have you tried to defer anything, or are you in a healthy position to, pay all your bills?
Yeah, right now I'm just paying them as normal. If it changes here in a week, or tomorrow, that could be a completely different story, but yeah, as of right now, we're just currently still paying everything. That way we're staying on track because the bills aren't going to go away just because you don't pay them.
Right. So I thought whether it's good or bad, there might be some people out there that decide to retire. It was time, opticians or optometrists. Would anybody use this as an opportunity to go make an acquisition? It could be a fire sale for some people. It's sad, but any thoughts on that?
I've actually already reached out to somebody that I've actually kind of had a close eye on anyway. We about a year ago, we built a second exam lane to accommodate a retiring optometrist. So he brought his practice over with him, and he does exams one day a week. So I've been trying, I caught wind that another optometrist was thinking about retiring. So every now and then I pop into her head, hey, just so you know, if you're planning on retiring and you want to come, do exams here one or two days a week to keep seeing your patients. These are your options, yada yada yada. So I've definitely been keeping my open.
Questions here. I guess I did not see them. So let's take a look here. All right, it says, are any of your locations in an area of lockdown? We are in Denver in a lockdown. We're in a lockdown here till April 30th. We're considered essential along with all the food and other healthcare providers. So our door's locked, but we're answering the phone. But anybody else in that state of lockdown?
Same.
We're on lockdown until the 6th, but I think our governor is going to change that to April 30th.
Okay. All right. A question is anybody, aside from frames, how are you going to change the basic functions of our jobs like measuring? So I think they're talking about measuring PDs and seg heights and stuff. If you had a digital measuring device, you could use that, I guess. The accuracy of them, I think that's a point of discussion. But what are you going to do to measure safely?
I mean, pretty much measuring is not going to change. It's just a matter of how often, and the more you sanitize, like you talked about, in front of the customer to let them know that you're keeping everything clean, and washing your hands between each customer, using hand sanitizer and things like that, and just doing it where they see it lets them know that you really are doing it, not just saying it and going on without it. That's the key.
Okay. All right. I like this one. This one is, do offices mind if sales reps reach out on their personal cell phones through text or calls while the offices are closed to check in with them to see if they need any help in any way. I actually had my Lindbergh rep text me today, not a sales text, just, hey, buddy, what's up? What's going on? Maybe he's tired of teaching his kids algebra or something. But Matthew, if Blas text you about your frames, what are you going to tell him? To take a hike, or you're doing okay?
What do you mean if? That's a common occurrence. I actually stay in touch pretty closely with most of my reps. It makes it a little bit easier to manage the line since I do have a smaller collection of each anyways. I find it's really nice to keep that personal touch, and I can find out what's coming out, when it's coming out, and it's easier to plan ahead with style seasons coming up.
How about you, Kim? Any texts from some of your reps checking in on you?
Yes, I have gotten texts from some of my sales reps. And, you know, that's always something that's been very important to me anyway, as far as building that relationship with those people. So they've texted to check in to see how we're doing. So it's nice.
Okay. Yeah, it's just nice to see a human and not just a sales machine. All right, we have one here. Have any of you been implementing any telehealth services in your practice? I know we've been getting like way more red eyes in my practice than usual. I think people are just desperate for care. They don't know where to go. I know, my father's in his 60s, so he's concerned about his health, and I'm concerned, even though he's, you know, a healthy person, you just can't predict with age. And we've been doing some text message stuff, just super basic. Just show us a picture of your eye to do some triaging if it's worth coming in for or not. Kevin, you're more on the medical side too. Any telehealth going on, video calls, text?
A little bit. We have been instructed by our full-time optometrist to refer basically anybody to the ophthalmology office that I work at. Technically, you know, she's unemployed right now, so it's kind of limited to what she can do. But I've gotten some text messages from people asking, my symptoms are this, what do you think I should do? But not a whole lot. We don't do a ton of medical here, but you know, we get our occasional red eyes and corneal abrasions and pink eyes and stuff like that.
We have a really technical question for you, Kevin. What specific nanometer does that UV sanitizer emit?
If I had to guess, 700 nanometers.
Okay, we got a tech nerd out there. So. All right.
What wavelength is UV?
And yes, whoever asked
that. Less than 380.
the UV sanitizer is made by a company called Hometics, and you can buy it online for, I think, around $100. All right, let's get into another question here. How can optical vendors help you out right now, providing education, tips, discounts? What makes the most sense right now for your business that will help you? Let's begin with you, Kim. How can people support you now and in a month?
I think just continuing education. I think Shamir had some webinars, and I think even just like what we're doing here, just talking with your peers, I mean, that's kind of education too, because you can always gain a pearl, right, from somebody. And I think even like when it's the same thing that we repeat all the time over and over with each other, I think sometimes when you hear it from somebody else's perspective, again, it's just kind of a reminder why we do the things that we do with enthusiasm and so forth. So.
Great question.
How about you, Josh? What do you need from your vendors? Are you going to keep your son busy and progressing? Obviously, you're a master of opticianry, but your son is on the learning curve. So,
yeah, it's a good time to do education stuff for sure. But main thing from as far as vendors goes is working with us as far as billing, making sure that they're willing to work with you. You know, hey, And when things slow down like they are, are y'all willing to back, back the billing up a little bit and let us, spread it out so it's a little easier for everybody? That keeps everybody making money that way, that way we don't have to stop ordering stuff until we can get paid up, and then you end up shorting your supply of frames or something for your customers. You want to make sure you've got plenty of product to sell, so that you can afford to pay that bill.
Right, right. I think this, we're going to get into kind of e-commerce side here with this question. Someone wants to know, how can we get accurate PDs / seg measurements virtually or online? I think the beauty of a bricks and mortar optical and optometry practice is we have a lot of the data already. We're not having to ask for it. So, if it's single vision, we have that PD from last year, and our eyes are not growing wider on the yearly basis. So any recommendations on how to do those fittings if we're not just selling, reading glasses?
So back to where I had that guy in Kansas. So he's a progressive wearer, and we send him a box of frames and he picks out what he wants, and we have to then put a progressive lens in it. So my managing optician, Steve, has actually come up with a way to measure the, so let's say he got frame X from us 2 years ago, and we have on file the seg height is 22. And so Steve will actually put the frame on somebody else in our store, one of our other opticians, measure it, and it's a 20. So he then takes 2 millimeters or adds 2 millimeters onto the seg height of every frame that he wants. So he wants a different frame, Steve measures it on my optician, it comes out to whatever, and then he adds 2 on it. So that is, so he comes up with an accurate seg height every time, actually, that way.
Okay, yeah, in my experience, sometimes you can just look at the B measurement and kind of manipulate it. And I would say, what's the worst that happens is you do a remake, right?
Right.
Sometimes they're tipping their head a little up and you can do a remake in a month or two. all right, Josh, this one's for you. Someone's asking, you're still limited and open. How are you, taking a seg height with the right precautions? Are you gloved, or you got a full face mask on, or what?
I'm about 6'2", so I got some pretty long arms. I can reach across pretty far. Main things are staying far away, definitely cleaning your hands before and after each person, not actually touching their face. Typically what you would do is rest your fingers on and on their cheek, measure from their seg height and stuff. Completely hands-free now as far as that goes. No actual contact at all. Letting them know, hey, we're going to take some measurements here, and just kind of using your common sense about it.
Right, I think common sense goes a long way. Someone's asking, how are we disinfecting special frames like wood and horn? I would assume just a light alcohol would not, harm them that much. But anyone with horn or wood experience want to comment on that?
We've been using our sterilizer.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's fair. So someone wanted to know if, you have the scientific evidence to know if that's actually killing COVID-19. I don't think we even have a study on what vaccine will prevent it. So I think any good hearted effort is best, right?
Yep.
Looks like Dee's coming in here.
I'm hopping back in because there's actually a question that was asked kind of early on when Kevin was talking about mailing all of those frames out. We had quite a few people ask, hi, how are you feasibly doing that in terms of assuring financial, payment in the event that those frames are now out in the wild? Are you taking a credit card number? Are they paying any sort of deposit down? How are you assured? And I know this is a long-term good client of yours, but for people who might want to implement this now in their businesses as a, you know, a stopgap measure, what sort of precautions should they be taking to protect themselves financially?
So the proper answer to that question would be to get credit card information before you send it. Like you said, I'm only sending these to patients that I know and have a very good relationship with, and have zero doubt in my mind that they would screw me over and not send the frames back or anything like that. But for people that are trying to implement this as an actionable thing long-term, I think either getting the credit card information or even charging the credit card before you send it would probably be the only foolproof method to getting that done. But I'm only doing this with, you know, a handful of my select customers that I trust. I'm not, this isn't like a big operation that I'm going to be putting together anytime soon.
And so for you in that sense, and then again, Matthew, also for you with your e-commerce, I know we had a question asked earlier about how to get accurate seg heights. I'm also imagining that, I know they vary from frame to frame, but you also have some of that on record already with existing clients. So it's not like you're reinventing the wheel with some of these ongoing things. One of the other questions that we sort of came in is sort of post all of this. Are you guys doing any promotion of gift cards or special packages that are, you know, COVID specials, buy it now and we'll fulfill it later sort of thing, to sort of build in some immediate business when doors open again?
One thing that we're doing is kind of cross-advertising with other business owners. We've given them certain numbers of gift cards and things, and they're giving away on their Facebook sites or their websites and stuff. So it's just to kind of keep our name out there and things like that for afterwards as well.
Kevin and Kimberly, are you guys doing anything from, you know, to start ramping up from a marketing perspective with a light at the end of the tunnel?
So we started just kind of posting. We have, so you can buy any amount of gift card and you would get up to $250 free. So if they bought a $250 gift card, they would get an additional $250 and we post that on social media. Then we have some sunglasses and so forth that are on sale. With every purchase of those, they get a $25 gift card. Hasn't been great. And, we're working.
One last question before we sort of wrap this up. You all had already sort of spoken a little bit about how you are working with your existing frame vendors, most of whom you've built over years a relationship with. How are you approaching new vendors who might want to reach out to you during this time? Is that like a no, don't do it, this is not the time to start a new business? Cool. That's what I assumed, but I was going to ask it anyway. Perry, I don't know if you have anything else that you want to step in and say before we formally wrap this up.
You know, I would say there was the time when the government was offering the cash for clunkers deal, if you guys remember that. And, you know, I hope just the whole industry, not just Optical, doesn't end up in that position where, you know, we're selling things for super cheap and later on people aren't valuing our services. So I would just recommend, you know, let's try to stay the course and sell things at normal prices. Obviously, offering gift cards is a good thing, because you're locking them down to come back in. But yeah, I think just business as usual for now, and every day we'll adapt like we do now with whether we're modifying hours or homeschooling our kids or, you know, taking more walks every day.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And again, everyone, thank you for joining us. If you miss something, if you're hoping something gets repeated, don't worry. All of the registered attendees will be emailed a replay link directly from GoToWebinar about 3 hours from now. And we'll also be posting the replay, which will be available on envisionmag.com under our education tab, probably Monday at this rate, since we're so late on a Friday here. We do have a COVID-19 tab on our website, which houses all of the information that is coming into us daily from vendors, suppliers, associations, as this thing is changing day to day. And then also stay tuned for more information from Envision on more webinars as we continue to cover this. We'll put that information on our website, our social media, and in our bulletin. Again, thank you, everybody, and stay safe.
All right, the podcast is over. Congrats, you made it through 1 hour. You can go walk the dog and teach your kid long division now. I need you to do one thing. Are you on Instagram? I know you are. You're scrolling through it all day long. Go follow Itrepreneur on Instagram. We post stuff that you need to read. It's not available anywhere else, so go follow us. See ya.